Seated. If you would please take your Bibles back to Luke chapter 10. I'll read a few verses there and then we'll make our way to Romans chapter 12. We'll begin, in Luke chapter 10. We're going to continue to talk about Mary and Martha this evening. If you remember from last week, Mary was a worshiper, Martha was a servant. Luke 10, verses 39, and, well, let me read verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There's a couple of verses I'd like to draw your attention to in verses 39 and 40. You can glance at those again. These two, Mary and Martha, plus Lazarus, their brother, were very close friends of the Savior. I mentioned last week that there are three places that they are seen together, Mary and Martha, in Scripture. Here, in chapter 10 of Luke, and they actually have a minor conflict. Actually, Martha's the one that has the conflict with with her sister Mary. I don't know that Mary was... even knew that her sister was troubled and bothered. She will after a while when finally Martha will tell her. But you know how that is. Sometimes people get all upset and bent out of shape and you're just going on with your day and you don't even know it. And whatever. You just keep going. But sometimes that happens. And then where their brother dies in John 11, we see them again. And then in John 12, where Mary will anoint the feet of Jesus. Now there are lessons that we can learn from their lives. The first one is I'd like you to take your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And actually, we're going to look at just two or three different verses in this area right here. But the first lesson is on esteeming others better than ourselves. Verse 10, the Bible says of Romans 12, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Here we are told to prefer one another. So just for giggles, I got out my Vine's expository dictionary and I looked up the word prefer. This was the definition that it gave. In the sense of taking the lead in showing deference one to another. Of course, when I saw the way they spelt the word deference, I didn't know what... I hate it when they give you a definition in a dictionary and you don't even know what the words in the definition mean. That drives me nuts. So I had to look up the word that was in the definition, which is deference. And then it says... to respect, to esteem, that is due to a superior. So in other words, I should respect you and give esteem to you as if you were my superior. Regard for another's wishes and to consider. And Vine went on to say, in honor, preferring one another. In honor is really, you ought to look at is to serve somebody else. You ought to look at that as an honor. Now look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's all of us. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Go backwards a few pages to Philippians chapter 2. In the context, this can be a very precious passage of Scripture on our Lord. But in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 are my life verses, but I really appreciate those verses as well. Now, I think we know what Romans 12, 10 and 1 Peter 5, 5 and Philippians 2, 3 and 4. I think we know what those verses are talking about. I also think that we all to some degree or another are selfish. I think that. And don't always want to put others above ourselves. I have my own desires. I have my own plans. I have my own wishes. And there are times when I, quite frankly, I don't want you to interfere with them. I won't tell you who. And I'll try not to use myself for too many illustrations. But my wife and I went out to dinner recently with another pastor and his wife. Actually, it was right before Christmas. And they were talking about he had this thing that happened. They wanted to get up their Christmas decorations. And then somebody died. And it wasn't a part of his church. And, you know, but the funeral home called him. And he said, I didn't want to go do that funeral. You know, there's times, I think, when all of us can get like that. There's certain times someone will call you and you're like, okay, y'all know my dad. You know, he's a piece of work. And my kids can tell you, Chris can tell you, hey, I need this done. No hurry. If you can be here within an hour, that'd be fine. And no hurry. I mean, you know, but that's how he is. But I don't always feel like dropping what I'm doing just, you know, for him or anybody else, quite honestly, sometimes. I think we all can struggle with that. I also think, and let me put a flip side on this, I think we can have a hard time with balance. If you always are helping the same person over and over and over, you know you are enabling that person to stay where they are. And that can be like just as bad. So now you're like, well, when do I and when don't I? But we do know that we are to esteem others above ourselves. Paul said this, I have become all things to all men that I might win some, or something like that. So I think Paul would do, you know, out there this winter, if you say, hey, Paul, can you stop and help me get my car started? It's cold today and won't run. I think Paul would have done it. And I think if somebody said, hey, my driveway's full of snow, can you help? I think Paul would have done it. I think he'd have become all things to all men, that he might win some. We are to consider others. To esteem really is to consider. Think about this. What are the two great commandments that Jesus gave? Love God and love others. Those are the two great commandments. Humility and putting others first, that really has been a consistent theme in our Lord's teaching and a very difficult lesson for most of his disciples to learn. And where we opened up tonight in John chapter 13, even on the night of our Lord's betrayal, each of the disciples ignored basic hospitality instead of taking a servant's role and washing each other's feet. And who was the one that actually got up and washed the other's feet? It was the Lord. The disciples weren't so interested in esteeming others above themselves. In Luke chapter 10, Martha at first seems to be a true servant by her external behavior. She put on the apron. She invited the Lord into the house. She went about the task of serving others. And by the way she treated Mary, quite frankly, reveals a flaw in her own heart. She got a little bit sharp-tongued, you might say, a little bit critical. To say things like that, like she said back in Luke chapter 10, in front of others, and I don't know how loud she said it, that could be somewhat humiliating. And you know, people don't need to be put down like that. Now, either she did not think first, or she didn't care. I hope it's the first one, because I like to think, well, I just didn't think before I said what I said. So I hope it's that one. But the judgment of Mary from Martha, that was wrong judgment. Romans 14, 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. What Martha is doing is she is judging Mary to be lazy. But in reality, Mary's heart was in the right place. Martha's heart was probably in the right place at first. But then, you know, she begins to look around. Go back to Luke chapter 10. There's a question there I want to point out in just a moment. Mary's motives and desires are more commendable than Martha's. And our Lord knew that. Martha's behavior shows her that even sometimes our best of actions can be corrupt if we do them with the wrong motive. Now, what Martha is doing is serving. Serving isn't a bad... Listen, serving's not a bad thing. Don't get the idea that I'm trying to talk you out of serving the Lord, because I'm not. But your motive needs to be right. She's waiting on Christ. She's waiting on the guest. So in a very real way, she was acting as a servant to all, just as our Lord himself had so often commanded us to do, love others. She was most likely began with all the best of the intentions. But listen, the moment she stopped listening to the Lord and made something other than him the focus of her heart and her attention, her perspective became very self-centered. You might do, a lot of you are very busy in the church. In fact, we have a high percentage of the people in our church actively involved in something. But you could actually be doing something and say, good thing I do this. Nobody else would ever do this. Well, that's the wrong motive. You should be, whatever it is that you do, you should do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's how you should do it. You're doing this for the Lord. I have lived by a principle for years, sometimes maybe to my own fault. But if I see something, I like to think, what can I do right now to make this situation better? And I'll just do it. But I've always been that way. That was part of my nature when I was a kid. You know, we had our beef out back, we had chickens, and we had pigs. I just used to love to be the first one up out of bed to go out there and feed them in the morning. That was just something that I just loved to do. It didn't seem to, my brothers and sisters, that didn't seem to be their biggest concern, was to get up and do that. I just thoroughly, they had to be fed. I like animals. I was going to eat them when they grew up, which I did. It didn't bother me. My mom wouldn't even eat our own beef. Bother anybody else to eat our own beef? You know, we raised them, we fed them, we cleaned them. We're going to eat them. That was our theory. She'd cook them, but she wouldn't even eat them. But anyway, her service for the Lord, Martha's that is, became tainted. And she did not assume the very best of her own sister Mary. Then her attitude got worse. Now here is what can happen to us if we get our eyes off the Lord and on ourselves. And all of us can be susceptible to these things. Anger, resentment, jealousy, distrust. You can get a critical spirit. You can make wrong judgments. She did with her sister. You can be unkind. She was with her sister. And then she even said this. Look in verse 40. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him. She got so frustrated, she finally came to the Lord himself and she says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Do you think Jesus cared? I mean, what a question. She knew better than that. John chapter 11 talks about how Jesus loved Martha. But she got too self-focused. We can get too self-focused. And she fell prey to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And that's what happened to Martha. Her intention got turned away from the Lord and on her sister, and she had a critical eye at that. You need to be careful that that isn't you, regardless of who it is, who the other person is. You need to be careful that that doesn't happen to you. I have to believe that this whole episode is ruining Martha's day. You know, she thinks she's the only body thing doing anything. Now, let me ask you a question. With regards to this ruining Martha's day, whose fault was it? Whose? It was her fault. That's right. It was Martha's fault. She was having a bad day because she chose to have a bad day. She got critical toward her sister. She got upset a little bit with the Lord, I think, when she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister? Those were her choices. She could have simply said, I'm doing this for the Lord, And later in John chapter 12, it appears that that's actually an adjustment that she had made in her life. But in this particular chapter, it wasn't. In Luke 10, she wanted, Mary did, to listen intently to Christ while all Martha was doing was getting the meal ready. And I commend the Marthas. We like it when people get the meal ready. You know, we're not against it. We're not against the Marthas. Mary was concerned with Jesus. She sat at his feet. She listened intently to the Savior's teaching. I assume she probably absorbed as best as she could every word. She's not really being lazy. She understood the importance of the occasion. The Lord Jesus himself was a guest in her home. And listening and worshiping him were, at that moment, the very best use of her energies and the best place for her to focus her attention on the Lord himself. Sometimes the best place for us to be still and know that he is God and to worship him and to sit and listen to a sermon or to songs or whatever so we can just absorb what the Lord has for us. It is obvious that Mary and Martha's personalities are quite different. Mary wanted to listen. Martha was getting the meal ready. In John chapter 11, when our Lord arrived, look at this. This just continues to show the personality difference of these two sisters. Martha's obviously the dominant one. Most likely it was her house. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus has already died. Martha ran out to meet him. Mary didn't run out to meet him. Mary stayed inside in grief. She was in thought. People like her are not so apt to jump up and to make a hasty decision and do something. Verse 23 through 27 I find very interesting in this chapter. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It didn't seem like she really realized that right at that moment the Lord was going to raise her brother. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'll be preaching on this here in a few weeks. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the Lord asked Martha this question, Believeth thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. There's a confession of faith, which should come into the world. Mary's response in verse 32, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not yet died. She fell at his feet in humility, and she realized that if the Lord was there, he wouldn't have necessarily even died. She seemed to be able to tell the true meaning even before the 12 could tell the meaning of it. And her anointing him in preparation for his burial shows her understanding, because she was willing to sit still and listen and ponder and meditate, and she seemed to grasp spiritual truth. Martha's first inclination was to act or react, you might say. Martha, you know who Martha's a lot like? Peter. Know that? Peter would just react, I mean, immediately. If Martha had preferred or esteemed Mary over herself, she'd have seen a deep love for the Lord. She'd have looked at her sister who had said, you know, she's a godly lady. She would have seen that. But she couldn't see that, and her public criticism of Mary is really, in all honesty, an expression of her own personal pride. Now, there is a great need for both. There is a great need for worship in my life and your life. There is a great need for service in my life and in your life. But when we serve, we can't worry about what other people aren't doing. It's not my problem what you don't do. It isn't. You serve Christ from your heart. And you are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Her service wasn't wrong. Somebody had to cook the meal. Somebody had to serve. Her service wasn't wrong. Her attitude in her service was the problem. And I don't know what your attitude, because I can't read your mind. You know, when the Lord judged motive, he always could judge accurately. But I can't do that. You can't do that. You think you can do that, but you can't do that. Only the Lord can judge the heart and the motive accurately 100% of the time. You can do it. You can get it right once in a while, probably, but nobody, I think, can do it 100% of the time. Only Jesus himself. But in relation to others, we are to serve others without regret. We are to do it as unto the Lord. That was Martha's problem. She got her eyes off the Lord. Anyway, Father, again, we thank you for these studies on these special ladies that are in the Word of God. We thank you for the Marthas that serve. We thank you for the Marys that worship. But we would all desire, in fact, there's a place for both in all of our lives. But how is our attitude in our service? Do we look down at other people because they don't do what we do? They might not even be gifted where we're gifted. We wouldn't even know that. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd have the right heart attitude about our service, about other service, and about esteeming others better than ourselves, about loving you and loving others, about preferring one another in honor, and that we would truly be servants of you, because whatsoever we do, we would do it heartily as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me share a couple of missionary letters.